Welcome to Dear Runner Bod, the pod dedicated to helping you embrace your runner's body. I'm Serena Marie RD, a registered dietitian and body image coach who wants you to stop dieting and start fueling the athlete within. While I am a medical professional, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure. Now, let's start rewriting your body's story. We are talking about lifting heavy things today. I love to share with you when things are just going super well and feeling really good for me. I'm right now almost 6 months pregnant. And, you know, for me, anything that is helping me feel good right now at this phase of my journey, I feel like is worth sharing with you because hopefully if it's working for me at 6 months pregnant, it'll feel even better for you when you don't have a baby sucking the life out of you constantly every day. But before we dive into that, I do want to share this week's winner for Review of the Week. Review of the Week is essentially just your chance to win a free masterclass from me. I have so many incredibly valuable masterclasses where I go deep into sharing strategies to help you become your best version of yourself. So whether you are trying to learn more about how to fuel your body as a runner during a long run, or trying to figure out meal planning and meal prepping, or maybe you're on a journey to stop your sugar cravings, I have all these masterclasses available. And you can get one for free if you simply just head to iTunes, the podcast app, scroll down till you see all those stars, click 5 stars, leave a few sentences, leave a review, and there's a really good chance that you will win Review of the Week in a coming episode because not that many people leave me Reviews of the Week. So anyway, just being real, this week's winner is Haven Rhoda. Haven wrote, "The friend you need in your corner. Serena's message and anti-diet voice changed everything for me as an adventure athlete who spent way too long trying to become the smallest version of myself. Changing the way we think about food and unraveling the toxic messages we've believed for our whole lives doesn't happen overnight. But every time I listen to this podcast, I am reminded why I'm putting in the work to become the most fulfilled version of myself. If you need encouragement to step into the best version of yourself, Serena is the gal you need in your corner." Haven, I adore you. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave this review. Not only can you message me, Serena, ooh, I changed my handle on Instagram. You can message me, Runner Girl Dietitian, on Instagram, or email me, serena@serenamarierd.com, to claim your prize. But also, this helps other people to find the podcast easier and helps us to spread the anti-diet message to other runners out there. So, Haven, thanks for helping me out, as well as all the other people in our food freedom runner world. Okay, so Review of the Week is done. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to do that. It really means the world to me. Today we are talking about lifting heavy things. Running and lifting. This is simultaneously the best thing in my life and the bane of my existence because let's get real, depending on how seriously you're training, or serious maybe isn't the right word, how many miles you're training, how many hours of your life you're training. I think that's really what I meant to say. Depending on how much time you spend each week training, like running, is really going to make lifting challenging for a few reasons. One, if we're spending a lot of hours running, you know, we've got other things to do in our life here. We do love exercise, but we do have family and friends and work responsibilities, unfortunately, that we have to get to. So, you know, the more you run, the less time you have for lifting. So that's a thing. But then also there is the matter of fact that depending on the type of strength training you do, you may feel really sore. And when you're really sore, you may kind of feel like that ruins or taints the experience of running. And that can be really, that can be a bummer if you love to run, right? Like I know for me, when I'm out there running, you know, assuming it's not a speed workout or a hill workout, a lot of that run is meant to be my time to unwind and enjoy and to feel good in my body. And if my legs are really sore and stiff, it's just less enjoyable, right? It's just not the same. And so running and lifting, it can be really tricky to mix the two. And so I just want to acknowledge if you're kind of in this space where you're kind of trying to figure out how to navigate lifting and running at the same time, you're not weird. You're not alone. This is so common. And I think the first thing to kind of do is get motivated of why we are lifting. You know, as a runner, I started running when I was a teenager, when I was 13. All I wanted to do was run. So I run in high school. And so I had a running coach in high school, and she would make us, I can't remember if it was like, I think it was twice a week. She would make us go to the gym in the high school. And I would call it the boy part of the gym because I was a little kid. And I hated the boy part of the gym. I didn't want anything to do with the free weights. I didn't know what to do. It confused me. It overwhelmed me. I felt like people were staring at me. I just hated it. Like, lifting is not quite the same exhilarating experience as running, right? We can all agree there. So just everything about lifting was not fun. I went to a running camp once with my cross country team when I was in high school. They made us do yoga. We hated yoga. Like, all the girls on my team were like, this is so boring. This is so slow. I hate this. So again, like, I just want to normalize this experience. If you're sitting here and you're like, I know, Serena, I'm rolling my eyes. I need to strength train, blah, 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 blah. But you're kind of feeling a lot of resistance to it. I totally get it. My brain is going in so many directions right now. So I think there is something, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on nervous system regulation right now because I don't think it's really the sexiest piece of marketing for lifting, especially since I know who I'm talking to, a runner. But I do just need to give a little shout out for nervous system regulation. As runners, we get really hooked on the high, you know, the experience of like hitting the pace and running and pushing yourself. And that's really a flight or fight mode. That's a sympathetic nervous system response when we're in flight or flight. And I love to run, so I'm not here to like bash us for loving that experience. But it's not really good for us because if we really think about day-to-day life in our hustle culture world we live in, there's a lot of flight or fight things that are being we're being exposed to on a day-to-day basis, right? Like every time your boss emails you, that's flight or fight. Every time your kid throws like a temper tantrum, that's flight or fight. Like, you know, just think about like your to-do list and how it's never ending. That's flight or fight. We're constantly go, 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 rushing. And so like our nervous system is already spending a lot of time in flight or fight during the day. And I think that's why running in some ways can feel really good because we're taking all that flight or fight energy and we're kind of like using it, right? Like we're pushing our body forward. We're taking all that energy and we're moving ourselves forward. But it's not really restorative. Like it's not really helping our body find balance. Remember the word homeostasis from like ninth grade biology? Do you remember that word? Homeostasis. Our body's obsessed with homeostasis. It wants every, not it, she, our body, she loves homeostasis. She loves being in balance. So our proclivity to run, and to be in this hustle culture world and do, and we're all freaking type A, let's just admit it right now. And we want to be the best and we are the most ambitious type of people. And, that really contributes to burnout. You know, that really contributes to your nervous system, your body being so addicted and used to go, that you feel uncomfortable when you're trying to slow down and be present and be in the moment and enjoy. And so we really do need more time for this like peaceful, quiet, slow activity, like a slow walk in the woods where we're soaking up nature or slowly picking up our weights and focusing on our breathing and slowly moving through Pilates or yoga. Like these are things, activities that are really balancing to the flight or fight response that is running. It's really parasympathetic, the calming part of our nervous system. And it actually might feel uncomfortable because it's not what you're used to. But guess what? You're an athlete. You can do hard things. Discomfort doesn't stop us from signing up for marathons, right? We're weird like that. So I do just want to plant the seed of just because you don't like it, just because it feels so uncomfortable to slow down and do the yoga, do the Pilates, do the slow heavy lifting exercises, it doesn't mean I don't know. I don't want to dismiss how you feel if you dislike something, but I do just want to plant the seed of like, maybe there's something to be gained there. Like maybe that discomfort is teaching you something, teaching your nervous system something, and that actually might ultimately result in you feeling better and more energized because you're teaching your nervous system how to have that calm, peaceful, slow down response experience, be in that parasympathetic mode. So I do just want to like give a little 5-minute speech about the nervous system. But more importantly, let's talk about how strength training makes you a better runner, right? Like that's really like the sexy selling point here. You want a PR. You want to run further than ever. You want to challenge yourself and see if you can break a new course record for yourself. Like you are competitive with your friends, like whatever it is. Like you just are out there training and you're spending lots of valuable time prioritizing training. And it makes sense that you would want to do that in a way that's going to get you the best results, the best performance. I totally understand that. Even in this phase of life where I'm trying to focus on using running and exercise as self-care, I'm 6 months pregnant. I'm clearly not going to be like PRing anytime soon. Anytime soon at all. I still am exercising and prioritizing my self-care, but I do enjoy trying to push myself and it's just fun for me. I don't know. We're weird like that. Okay. So anyway, why are we strength training even if we don't give a rat's tail about our nervous system? We are strength training to prevent injury. Okay. When we are running and we are using those same muscles in the same form over and over, right? With this forward pushing, like we're not doing lateral movements, the forward movement. That's what I'm trying to say. We are just repeatedly using the same muscles over and over and over again. That is putting us at risk for overuse injury. It is really just strengthening one specific part of our muscle to do one specific movement. Again, our body, she loves balance. So we don't want to only train our muscles to do one specific movement. Our muscles are craving that ability to be strong in all different directions, like the lateral direction, right? Like running is not really covering our bases in terms of strengthening all of our different muscles. And so if we start to strengthen our muscle in one way and don't balance it with the other movements, then that sometimes can result in injury. Nobody likes being injured. I think being injured is part of being a runner. I think we've all been there. Whenever someone tells me they're injured, I'm like, hey, guess what? You are now a seasoned runner. Welcome to the club. Woohoo, right? But it sucks. Nobody wants to be injured. It's the worst thing in the world. So how do we prevent injury? We strength train. But the thing that I think makes strength training even more exciting for me as a person who does enjoy competing and challenging myself is that strength training can actually make you faster. And this is something that I have found time and time again in my own personal life. Obviously, this is just like one woman's story, but I've got lots of data and scientific resources to back up this story. So I think it's kind of cool when you're implementing and you're like, wait a second, this really works? What? You know, every single time I jump back into the strength training realm and really get consistent with it, I always get faster and I'm always so surprised and I'm always so shocked when it happens. But strength training literally is changing our body's economy. So if we think about when we're running, we are really trying to push that pace. And while we're pushing our pace, we really want to get the most out of the movements, right? So if we're thinking about our economy, we really want to get the most out of each step we're taking. So when we are strength training, we are actually increasing the strength of our muscle coordination. We are strengthening the activation of those muscles. And it actually allows us to kind of push ourselves faster and harder without feeling so tired. And I kind of am all over the place today, so I'm sorry. But I do just want to like mention really briefly, this is part of the reason that being thinner equals faster is such a myth and such a lie. Because when we have more muscle, we have more weight on our body, because muscle just is a heavier is heavier than fat if we were to look at the volume. And so just because we're heavier from this extra muscle doesn't mean we're slower, because the extra muscle makes us faster by improving and elevating our running economy, by improving our muscle coordination, our muscle strength, and our muscle activation. And that way it's going to take less energy in order to push ourselves, and it's going to feel less tiresome. And you're getting faster, even though you weren't doing 1,000 speed workouts a week, you were just lifting heavy or doing your Pilates, doing your yoga, and really challenging yourself in that different way that is not running. Okay, so I think this can sometimes be really appealing to the athlete who maybe doesn't enjoy lifting or yoga or Pilates or any of those slow down resistance types training modalities. I think it can be really alluring to mention, hey, not only are you preventing injury, I think sometimes like injury, maybe it just kind of feels like, I don't know, like I'm not injured. Who cares about injury? Like, I think the older you get, the more you actually like care about being injured. But when I was in my 20s, I'm like, I'm not injured, I'm fine, who cares, you know? But getting faster, like getting stronger and faster, being able to run further with it feeling less exhausting to you, that is pretty cool. That is probably why you're a runner. That's probably part of why you do what you do. So I really want to encourage you to get out there and to find a method of resistance training that feels good for you, whether it is resistance bands or heavy lifting or strength training or yoga, where we're really, you know, when I mentioned yoga, I'm not going to pretend to be like an expert in yoga or a yogi by any means, but we really want those practices where we're holding body weight poses to engage muscles, rather than the types of yoga that are a little bit like slower and restorative. Those are also wonderful for you and wonderful for your nervous system, but maybe are just play a different role than the types of yoga that are really going to help you to build muscle and strength and balance. You know, that's really what I'm talking about in today's episode. So strength training is important. We need to figure out a way to strength train while we're training. So I'm not going to pretend to have this all figured out. I do think that different seasons of life are going to have different solutions. So I know when I was marathon training the end of last year of 2023, my solution for strength training was kind of, I'm spending so many hours a week. I was running like 40-ish miles a week. That was a lot of running for me personally. I know some of you run way more than that. And I just kind of compromised with myself and I said, I'm going to do 20-minute full body and lower body workouts or strength training workouts at home using my home weights. And I'm going to do that twice a week. And that is kind of how I'm going to stay consistent with strength training during marathon training. Now, I think that's excellent. I didn't get injured. I felt really good on race day. When I finished Marine Corps, I felt pretty excellent. Like, we were walking around exploring with my mother-in-law and I felt great the next day. Like, I'm really proud of that race. Even though obviously if you listen to that episode, there's complaints I have about that race too. But my point is like, I think that strength training really helped me. Do I think that was the most I could have gotten out of strength training? No, I really think that was enough to prevent injury. I think that was enough to kind of help me feel good during my race. I don't know necessarily if I was challenging myself enough to actually get faster at the marathon with the level of lifting I was doing. Like I said, I was using like 20 pounds or less because that's what I have at home. And it was like 15, 20 minute workouts twice a week. I think the next time I do a marathon, I don't know when that's going to be. I don't even know if I'll ever run a marathon again. But if I was ever on a marathon again, I do think I would want to cut some of that mileage and replace it with time in the gym. Because I have just found, and again, this is my body. Everyone's body is different. I think that's something that's really important for you to figure out with your running coach, for you to look back on your different, like the different types of training you've done in your life. If you've been a runner for a while, I think it's fun to experiment with like, what do I feel like when I run 30 mile weeks or 20 mile weeks or 40 mile weeks or 70 mile weeks? Like, everyone kind of has their own sweet spot, and what works for me might not work for you. But then also kind of considering, like, am I a person who feels like resistance bands or yoga or Pilates, like, that really feels like something that is easy for me and enjoyable for me and is realistic for me to stick to during my half marathon, my marathon, whatever training you're doing. I know personally, I really enjoy lifting heavy in the gym. I really enjoy spending, you know, 30 to 40 minutes lifting heavy and slowing down and not doing a cardio plus lifting type situation. That works really well for me. And I have found that it really helps with my speed. And I think, again, it just has to do with genetics. It has to do with preference, consistency, and genetics here. So I just because something works for me doesn't mean that you have to do heavy lifting. You might be somebody who does 3 20-minute strength workouts in your home, your home gym or whatever, and that is enough for you to prevent injury and to feel really good in your body. And that's enough. Like, I don't want to make this more complicated than it has to be, because it doesn't. Like, I'm super proud of those 2 20-minute workouts that I was doing during marathon training. That was hard for me to even stick to because there's so much mileage, so much time spent running that, you know, you also have to do like mobility and stretching and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's so much time putting into marathon training. For those of you who are doing, you know, you're not in marathon training, maybe you're not even in half marathon training, that also could be very time consuming, but you're just kind of whatever, you're running for fun, you're training for a 10K, a 5K, you know, maybe there is more time in your schedule to say, I'm going to try out a Pilates class, an hour long Pilates class once a week. I am going to try lifting heavy 2 or 3 times a week. I am going to try yoga and, you know, these different strength training modalities to see if one of them kind of feel like they work best for me and they're most enjoyable for me. And that might mean, one, cutting mileage. I know for me, like, I'm pregnant right now, so obviously things would be different no matter what. But for me, I have been okay with kind of reducing mileage to make time for 2 heavy lifts in the gym a week. Some days I'll get 2 or 3 miles in after my heavy lift, but a lot of times I'm just kind of doing the heavy lift and I'm walking to and from the gym, and that's my cardio, right? Like, I don't really care about getting the cardio in. Like, the benefit is coming from the lifting heavy. So I think that's something to just consider. You know, you don't have to do cardio or get your sweat on every day. It can be really good to your nervous system, really calming to that cortisol response that we've talked about before, to really skip that like high intense workout and just replace it with something a little slower and resistance based. So I think that's something to consider. I think another thing to consider is if you are worried about being sore, first of all, my first question is are you, like, your easy days of running are supposed to be easy. And so first of all, I think we need an ego check, because I know for me in my 20s, it would annoy the crap out of me to be so sore from lifting that I would have to run slower because I was sore. And I would be so annoyed because my pace wasn't XYZ. And it's like, dude, who cares? When you are doing an easy run, it is okay if you walk. It is okay if you are running, you know, slower than a slug. Like, that is healthy for you. That is the point of a slow, easy run. We are running nice and slow, and those nice, slow, easy runs have a very important role in you becoming a faster, fitter, better athlete. They are helping you to build more of the muscle fibers that are used for endurance training. They are helping to increase capillary density in your muscles so that you can deliver more oxygenated blood to your legs. Like, it has an important role. So part of this, I think, is just because you're sore and you're slowing down, is that actually a bad thing? Like, the ego doesn't like it, but it actually could be exactly what your running coach wants from you, is like for you to actually slow the frick down. So I just want to kind of throw that out there. Now, of course, if you're sore and it's impacting your ability to kind of run fast on your scheduled speed days. If you're somebody who does scheduled speed days, right? Some of us just aren't there yet or interested in that, and that's okay too. I think we can kind of consider a few things. One would be, is it realistic to try and do the heavy lift on the same day as the speed workout? So doing the speed workout first and then maybe, you know, eating a bunch of food. I teach you all about how to time this and eat like an athlete boot camp if that's something you need help with. But we can kind of make sure that we're doing our workout and then maybe later that day or afterwards we are doing the lift. So that way we're kind of putting the hard days, the hard workouts on the same day. And then we can recover from them post that day. I think for me, that's not really very realistic advice. One, even if I had the time to do two hard workouts in the same day, I don't think mentally like I could get myself on board with doing that. So I'm just going to be real with you. I think in theory, it's a really good idea. It makes sense. But I know for me, I'm just not like badass enough to do that. Like, just being totally real with you here. But for me, like, I've kind of said to myself, I'm going to pick a season. So for instance, the marathon training, my priority was really to focus on running, and I kind of sacrificed in the lifting department. So maybe you could do something like that too, where maybe during off season, you sacrifice or you run less, or you don't care if you're maybe lifting, your lifting soreness is impeding your track workouts, because the track workout's not really the point, right? You're in an off season. You're in a season of building mileage, and maybe you're not even doing track workouts if you're in an off season. And you're really focusing on building muscle, okay? So I think that's one thing to consider. Those are kind of two things to consider. Before we move on to other things, we need to talk about the thing that I miss most since becoming pregnant. And you may be thinking it is a juicy, medium rare hamburger. I really miss a good burger. However, it is not a burger. It is Soul CBD. Soul CBD was something I started using a few years ago when I was on a journey to naturally reduce symptoms of anxiety. I had tried anti-anxiety medication and it really did not work for me. The different medications that I tried really kind of reduced my desire to be intimate with my husband, and that was a total deal breaker for me personally. So I stopped using anti-anxiety medications and started experimenting with these natural ways to reduce anxiety. The thing that was so effective for me was CBD. CBD drops, the 1500 milligram CBD drops. I love the raspberry lemonade flavor. I love the watermelon mint flavor that Soul CBD makes. Adding them to tea or putting them under my tongue before a busy workday, it really just kind of helped me surf the feelings of anxiety and arrive to a place where I could more logically feel calmer in my skin, rather than usually that anxiety just kind of mounts and mounts and mounts and takes over before I can even logically talk back to it. So I became a huge fan of Soul CBD years ago. I was a fan. I was taking it daily to help control anxiety. And then they introduced the THC gummies that contain not only CBD to help you feel calm, but THC to just give you a little bit of something, something. The THC, the out-of-office gummies, are something that I was using before bed. Not every night, but on nights that I did feel like I had a really long day, a really hard day, I was feeling really stressed out. The THC CBD combo really helped me fall asleep quickly, stay asleep, and just really helped me to feel calm and awesome in my body. So if you are CBD curious, or if you are just looking to snag a great deal on THC or CBD, Soul CBD, you can get 30% off with the coupon code SERENA, S-E-R-E-N-A. Highly encourage you to just head over to their website, getsoul.com, and to try out some of the products for yourself. And then the other thing would just be kind of realizing, like, for me, what I've been doing is just kind of saying to myself, like, I am going to do everything in my power to reduce soreness. And so the way I've been thinking about this is, how can I try my best to put rest or alternating body, like the body parts that are being worked. So for instance, yesterday I did a speed hill workout type situation. Today I'm going to do an easy run and some upper body. My upper body is like really quick and it's like 20 minutes. It's really not that intense. And then tomorrow I'm going to do my lower body lift where I'm going to get sore. And I do realize like I'm just going to be kind of sore and stiff during my long run on Sunday. But again, long runs are easy runs where they're supposed to be easy and slow. So I'm just kind of like signing myself up to be sore during that long run. And it's supposed to be slow and easy anyway. So I think that what I'm trying to say is like, can we think through how we're timing these workouts and how they're going to affect the future workouts that we have? And then, you know, I combine that strategy with how can I set up my nutrition and my life to support recovery, to reduce soreness, right? So for those of you who are not pregnant, taking creatine is such an amazing supplement that I really feel like most people should be taking if you are lifting, if you are training. Creatine has so many benefits, not only for muscle building, like for weightlifters, but so many benefits for endurance athletes as well. And the supplement guide, I talk all about creatine and Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp. Like this is something I really encourage my athletes to take. So creatine is a supplement that you can use to help build muscle and reduce soreness and improve recovery faster. So besides creatine though, forget supplements. Maybe you hate supplements. You don't want to take supplements. That's fine too. You don't have to take them. But food, like thinking about how are we timing our nutrition, right? So I am so intentional with making sure I am nailing my pre and post-workout nutrition. I am so intentional about increasing my protein intake as a pregnant athlete who is weightlifting heavy twice a week. And so are you doing those things to set yourself up to reduce soreness? And if the answer is no, ding-a-ring-ding, that is such a golden opportunity. Where maybe for all you know, you would be so excited and happy to lift or to have lifting be a part of your routine if you didn't feel so run down and sore during your runs. And the key to reducing that soreness very well may be making sure you're eating enough protein every day, making sure that you are getting the correct pre, mid, and post-run fuel for your runs, or the right pre and post-run fuel for your lifts. And if you're not doing those things, then that is just like a gaping hole where you are setting yourself up to be sore, right? So I really have found making sure that, you know, I'm exercising smart, thinking about, am I taking rest days? Am I sleeping enough? Of course, we can't always control that, but trying our best to sleep enough. Am I taking rest days? I'm not going hard every single day. And then also making sure I'm pairing that with smart fueling to really help to reduce soreness. And I have to say again, like I'm just one person, but it has really worked so well for me even as a pregnant athlete. And again, the only reason I'm sharing this is because the data says it should work, right? Like I'm not just pulling this out of my butt. Like there's lots of references and resources that we can look at here. So really, I think my point of today's conversation is I know lifting is not always the thing we want to do as runners. We love to go, go, go. We love the thrill, the runner's high. We don't get that when we slow down and strength train or Pilates or yoga. And that can be hard. However, I really want you to consider, does lifting align with your goals? If you want to get faster, yes. If you want to run further without injury, yes. If you want to run into your old age, we didn't even talk about how lifting actually improves muscle density, I'm sorry, bone density, and helps prevent hip fractures and all those scary, you know, osteoarthritis, osteoporosis that none of us want because we want to run until we're 90. If you want to run until you're 90, yes, strength training aligns with your goals, right? If you want to become faster, did I already say that? I can't remember. I think I did. But if you do, guess what? Lifting is going to help with that. So I think it's important for us to maybe take a moment to say, can I play around with my schedule? Do I need to reduce mileage? Ooh, here's another one. Maybe you are so scared to skip out on the mileage or the cardio because you feel like lifting and Pilates and yoga doesn't burn enough calories. And that's why you're not lifting. Oh girl, if that is you, you gotta get over that. We gotta get over that because that doesn't even Oh my God. No, 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 no. You can't do that. You can't do that to me. Because burning calories, just being so focused on burning calories and trying to control your calorie intake does not work. We're so much smarter than that here. Because what we are going to do is we're going to be focusing on making sure I am taking care of my hormones and my metabolism. That is the name of the game, right? This is 2024. This is not the 90s where we think calories in, calories out is the queen. No, we don't believe that anymore. We are focused on metabolism. You want to know how to take good care of your metabolism? You got to lift heavy things. You got to hold the yoga pose. You got to do the Pilates until you're going to feel that burn, right? Like we need to make sure our lifting workouts are challenging us. Okay. It shouldn't be, I have like a 5 pound weight and I'm watching TV and I'm just like, bah, 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 bah. I can talk and walk and sing and dance and lift this weight and it's not hard. That is not what I'm talking about. I am talking about you're holding the yoga pose and you're getting shaky. Okay. Like I am talking about you're lifting the weight and the last 2 to 3 reps are challenging you. Obviously, no one get injured here and like kill themselves, but like you are feeling challenged when you are doing these poses or these Pilates holds or these weightlifting exercises. And if the answer is yes, if you are doing that 2-3 times a week, you are building muscle and that muscle is boosting metabolism. And that metabolism, when it is working at the level we want it working, we don't want a slow as jello metabolism. We want a fast fire burning metabolism. When that is happening, you are functioning at your highest level. You're going to feel better in your body. You're going to have better digestion. You're going to have better sex drive. You're going to have better skin health and hair health. You are just going to feel like you can freaking fly. And like, that's what I want for you. So if you are so worried about if I replace my 5 mile run with a lift, I'm not going to be burning those X hundred calories. No, stop. Stop. I love you. I'm not trying to be mean right now, but like, dude, that does not make sense. Focusing on just burning calories is the same as saying, I want to slow my metabolism down. I am trying to manipulate my body with calorie math. It does not work. Because if it worked, if that was the answer, we've been talking about this since the 100 years now, right? Like this is what the whole dieting industry is obsessed with. If that worked, then that would have been the solution. We wouldn't have a whole industry around weight loss and body composition. Like I wouldn't have a job right now. It doesn't work. So we got to like put that to bed. Like just throw that out the window, set it on fire. Stop caring about that. Slow down. Take care of your body. Focus on the science of what works to help you become the fittest, strongest version of yourself. And that is running. I mean, listen, running is something that's a non-negotiable, right? Like we love to run. We are runners. That is staying in our world. And that is the point of this podcast is to talk to runners. So we are running. Running is important to us. We love to run. It is part of who I am. Running. But then also having that little like aha moment of just running is not enough to optimize my health. We don't have to care about optimizing health. Like I'm not telling you if you run and that's all you do, you're a bad person. Listen, you've got your own preferences, your own values, like you do you. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but you're listening to my podcast. So obviously you want advice. And so that's the only reason I'm giving you my 2 cents right now. Lifting works. Lifting is cool. Okay. So anyway, I do want to just throw in like a little personal thing that happened to me recently. So I ran a half marathon. I think I was 21 weeks pregnant. Or was I 22? I think I was 21 weeks pregnant. And That half marathon, what I have been doing, I have been running way less mileage than I have run for previous half marathons, but I have been lifting heavy, a full body and a lower body lift twice a week consistently since December. And I've also been doing a hill workout. I've been doing hills too, which I think is also hill training is strength training. So I just want to like mention that as well. Like when we do hill repeats or we run up a hill and we're running slower because we're running up the hill and we're saying, I'm not running fast. I hate myself. I'm mad at myself. Dude, it's a strength workout. So just throwing that out there. I ran that freaking half marathon at a pace that I am so impressed with myself. I just want to give myself like a little pat on the back right now. I was shocked that I was capable of doing that at, you know, 5.5 months pregnant. And so my point is lifting works, strength training works. And I almost like could shake myself now thinking about my marathon training where it's like, I wish I had spent less time running and had prioritized lifting a little bit more, right? And again, like I know it's every training cycle is an opportunity to learn. I was talking to a client about this a few days ago. Oh yeah, I just remembered who it was. I was like, who was I talking to? And okay, so this client is, she's in her 50s. I can't remember, 51 or 52. And she was talking about like, maybe I need to just like acknowledge like I'm not going to get faster. Like I'm in my 50s now. Like this is where I'm at. And I kind of was like, wait a second, hold on. Why don't we think about this differently? And I think this applies, like I'm in my 30s, I'm 35. And so I think the way I trained in my teens and my 20s, when I was in my teens and my 20s, I could be like, look at the calendar, pick a race in 3 months and be like, I'm going to PR that race. Like I'm going to get faster for that race. And I would put the work in for 3 months and like it would work, right? Like I was young. And so like if you're in your 20s or a teenager listening to this, like I think you should start good habits, healthy habits now. Like take all the stuff I'm telling to us old people. I'm joking. I don't think we're old. But the things I'm telling to us now as 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 plus people listening, I think this advice is really good if you're in your teens and 20s too. But I'm also just going to acknowledge like when you're in your 20s and your ego is screaming at you and you feel like invincible because you're in your 20s, I totally understand. If you're just not good, you're going to ignore me. But for those of us who are not in our 20s anymore, or even like my early 30s, I feel like I could get away with a lot of this stuff. I feel like things started like changing in my, I don't know, COVID hit too. So it's kind of like mumbo jumboed because everything with COVID really affected me. So I don't know. Anyway, I am completely on a tangent here. What am I talking about? I was talking about my client who's in her 50s and she said, maybe I'm not going to get faster. And what I said to her is that maybe the way we need to think about training cycles at this point in our life is that they build on each other, right? So my point being is it's been about a year. I think June 2023 was when I had just come back from my hip/broken foot injury. And I was like, I really want to get faster. And I wanted to try and BQ my October marathon. And like I said, I think in my 20s, that would have been enough time to say, I started training seriously in June and I'm going to BQ. I'm going to run a really fast marathon. And in my 20s, that would have worked. Now in my 30s, where I was entering that training cycle, one, I was injured recently. So I had really just come off a very low, no mileage season. But I think even like zooming out more than that and thinking about my history of how I had approached running since COVID. So when was that 2020? Was that COVID? Oh my God, that was so long ago. So yeah, like it had been 3 years of me not focusing on training. And that was okay. Like if you are not worried about getting faster or stronger, you are just like Serena, I run for my mental health. I hope you know you still belong here. You're still a runner. You're still an admirable athlete. And I hope you like continue listening. This show is not just for people who are trying to like PR and stuff. Okay. But I'm just sharing like my personal life story here. And I think because I had taken, you know, when COVID hit, so March 2020 through June 2023 of really just either like not running. There were periods where I was injured or there was periods when adding the fight or flight of running to everything that was going on during the pandemic was way too much for me. And I would just go on long walks and I wasn't training. I had stopped lifting because I had lost access to the gym. And I honestly really struggled with lifting at home. I just didn't enjoy it. So I had stopped lifting. I had stopped running fast. I had periods where I was running minimally and really just prioritizing walking. And I think that 3 years of really kind of peeling back on the way I was training, I think it's going to take a while to get back to a place where I am able to my point is like, I think training cycles build on each other. And so I think taking 3 years to slow it down is not bad. I'm not like criticizing that choice. I love that choice for myself. I needed that period of my life. But I do think now going into that pregnant half marathon I just ran in March 2024, I think what I can kind of see is that, you know, June 2023 through October 2023, I was training really hard. I was focusing a lot on speed. I barely did strength work and I did zero hill training. And I had that race and I'm so proud of that marathon that I ran in October 2023. It didn't go the way I wanted to, but I ran it. I felt strong. I felt great. And I think I get to say like that is now a piece of the foundation I am building. And now I'm going to put another training cycle on top of it where I'm focusing on lifting and pill work. And now I just completed that half marathon training cycle. And now, honestly, I'm kind of shifting my focus to birthing a human. But like if I wasn't, I could then say to myself, what is the next piece of this training that I'm focusing on, right? Maybe I could go back into a phase of high mileage where I'm doing slow mileage and really focusing on hills and lifting. I think that would be a good next stage for me if I wasn't pregnant right now. Or maybe I could have said to myself, hey, you know, I got so much strength and hill training in that last cycle. I'm going to jump back into doing more speed work again. Like we could kind of layer these cycles, these training cycles, until we get to a place where we are noticing like, hey, all of that training stacked on top of each other with, by the way, time to rest and have season weeks off in between training cycles. That's also important. They build on each other and we can get faster. We can get stronger. We don't have to put our goals on a shelf just because you're 51 or 52 or whatever. But I do think it's more of a long game. And I do think it's not going to be that sexy, quick, like pick a race on the calendar 3 months from now and gun for it. And maybe you've been on this journey, this building journey that I was just describing for a year, 2 years, 3 years now. And maybe you are in a place where you can pick out a race 3 months from now and train for it and PR it. But I just want you to acknowledge you had that base built, those training cycles that came before that PR race, they mattered. And so I think we get so excited about the PR and the event that we forget like, all of them matter. We are learning something important from every training cycle, even when it's a bust, even if you have an injury, even if you have a horrible race, even if it's 107 degrees outside and you trained in the 40 degree weather. I feel like that's like the theme of my life. I just want to acknowledge like all of these races matter. All of these choices matter. And really the secret sauce is focusing on the long game. So yeah, if you decide to lift that day, you're not burning the 500 calories or whatever that you would have burned on your run. And maybe that feels really like a hard pill to swallow for you because you really want to burn the calories. But we are not focusing on what am I doing today to get the quick win. We're thinking about the long game of how that lifting session is improving your running economy, is preventing injury, is helping you be a runner when you're 90 years old, is helping you get faster for your race that you have in 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, is helping you to boost your metabolism so that you are taking good care of your hormones as a female athlete. It's not sexy and it's not fast and quick. And I think that's the hardest part of my job is like trying to keep you on board and interested. And I think that's what's so special about, you know, when you join Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp, you actually have access to our membership community. And we're freaking awesome. Like, obviously, I'm biased here, but we root each other on, we vent to each other, we share our experiences with each other. And I think celebrating those small wins along the way is what keeps us looking towards the long game and staying motivated, right? And staying really focused on those goals. So obviously, Eat Like an Athlete boot camp and Team Food Freedom Athlete membership community, I'm a big fan of both. And I just want to remind you, you know, Eat Like an Athlete boot camp is now a self-paced course. It is no longer a group program. And what this means to you is that you can join at any time and you can work on the modules at your own pace. And you have lifetime access to all of the recipes, all of the resources, all of the modules so that you can really have this experience and personalize it to your schedule so you can get the most out of it. And you still get all of the support from me and the community because you actually get access to the Team Food Freedom Athlete membership where you can ask questions, attend the monthly team calls. You still get all of the support without any of the pressure of trying to make your schedule work with the group program schedule. So I think that's pretty neat. As a person who is entering new mom life, I am all about self-paced courses right now. If you are listening to this and it is April or May 2024 and you want to get introductory access or the introductory price to the new self-paced program, all you have to do is DM me, Runner Girl Dietitian, the words golden metabolism. And I will know you're a podcast listener. I will give you a juicy discount code to join Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp, the self-paced version. This is a program that has been in existence since 2019. It has helped hundreds of athletes really make peace with food, really find that good fuel glow up and start to use food to their greatest advantage. Teaches you carb loading, pre, mid, post-run fueling, day-to-day nutrition, all without calorie counting. It is a really amazing experience for any runner who is really trying to break free of the diet world and is excited about improving performance. So I invite you to DM me Golden Metabolism if you would like to learn more. Or there's also a link in the show notes that you could go check out the sales page and learn more about Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp there. So anyway, today's episode was fueled by pregnancy hormones, where I have basically, I don't even know what we talked about. I was all over the place, had a nice little outline, and I just threw it in the trash and talked about whatever I wanted. But the point is, go lift heavy things and go do yoga and Pilates and find a routine that works for you and stop stressing out if you're not burning a bunch of calories during your workout. Focus on the long game. Focus on taking care of your body. She is your teammate. And yeah, if this episode helped you, make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or share it with a friend. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dear Runner Bod. If you enjoyed what you heard, remember to subscribe and make sure you share today's episode. Also, if you're looking to download a free 3-step guide to love your runner's bod, then head to serenamarierd.com. Can't wait to chat with you next week.